looking for the spot to kick back, relax, and talk all things Southern Miss? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Everyday Eagles Podcast, the podcast for Southern Miss fans by Southern Miss fans.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Everyday Eagles Podcast. We are excited to talk about some baseball with you lovely ladies and gentlemen. But before we get kicked off, let me bring in that lovely co-host of mine who seems to be drinking out of a Beauty and the Beast mug. So Mr. Lane Brady, what's up, Lane?
I got my LeFou's Brew mug from Disney World. By the way, so the LeFou's Brew, have y'all ever had that there? Pate, you're
not
on the show. We know you're here. Have you ever had it, Pate? You go
no,
to Disney
I haven't.
World every other weekend.
I mean,
so y'all hadn't?
Oddly enough,
I've never
no.
had it.
So, people, if you got a Magic Kingdom over by the Beast Castle and Belle's house, I sound like I'm like legitimate. Okay. Anyway, when you go to their houses, I sound like I'm like genuinely talking about somebody's house, not a theme park. Anyway, when you go to where their houses are and the castle is, there's like a little town square, and they've got this pub that, like, you know, it's decorated like the Gaston's pub, you know? It was Gaston's pub, and they have something called LeFou's Brew, and it comes in a little mug that looks like what they drank out of on the movie. The drink's terrible. It's like fruit juice mixed with other fruit juice mixed with something. It was terrible. Like, the whole thing... You ever been, I'll tell you, Chuck, this is what it tastes like. I know exactly what it tastes like. Have you ever been
I apologize, listeners. I apologize.
Have you ever been to, like, a party or a shower or something, somebody had this punch that was made from pouring, like, grape juice and mixing it with, like, sherbet?
Sherbet, yeah, I kind of like that stuff. Some of it sounds pretty good sometimes.
Well, you might like LeFou's Brews. It's pretty much that exact same thing.
Okay.
I didn't like it, but I like the mug, so I got the mug.
Listeners, if you could see Lane's face, he is so genuine right now. It's hilarious.
I like the mug. It's a good mug. It's a cool mug.
You'll have
video
to put it on Facebook.
Soon.
Yeah, so you can
see. I'm looking forward to when we have video podcasts and y'all can see how cool this stuff is that we're talking about, people.
Oh, my Lord.
Lane's going to have to start wearing a shirt, though. It's a little, you know.
I got the Penguin shirt on tonight.
Look at you. I got a Chase.
Paw Patrol. That's right. That guy has a nephew. That's what that screams. How was your week, Chuck?
It was good. It was long, but it was good.
All right, Pate, we got you on, too. How was your week? Weekend, week?
Busy week. Busier weekend. Yep. Mostly cleaning out gutters and all that fun stuff around the house.
The honeydew list.
That's right.
Son, that honeymoon's over, boys. He got that list now. It's got to roll. You're living right in the thick of marriage, Pate. I hope you're enjoying it. It's awesome.
Fun times.
No offense, Katie. We love you too.
Or Mary Lois.
Or Mary Lois. It's fine. Anyway, before this gets away from us here, guys, we have a good episode tonight. And as we said earlier, people, we're about to get back on our schedule of having an episode a week, right, boys? So here we are, another Everyday Talks episode with a guest. And the guest this week is Patrick Beardman. So welcome
to
the show,
man.
Patrick.
Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it.
So I want to make it clear, I said last week after we had a question sent in from Patrick, I said, I'm working on getting him on the show. 1 week later, it happens.
Here you are.
I'm an easy sell.
Yeah. Persistence, people.
He lets you drink out of the other Beauty and the Beast mug, right, man?
Matching pair.
I can only stomach that drink one time at that point. There's only one of them.
Hilarious.
If you go to Magic Kingdom, people, get LeFou's Brew. The drink's terrible, but the mug's cool.
I'll be there on the 27th, so I may try it.
All right. Lord. Well, Patrick, we'd like to ask all our guests a few questions here. We'll start it off with this one here. What is your favorite Southern Miss moment? I went out of order. It's okay. We'll keep it. What's your favorite Southern Miss moment? Go ahead, Patrick. By the way, he sent this question into us last week. He had us rank our top three that we were at. So I might flip it and ask you to rank your top three, too, in a minute. But what's your favorite one overall first?
Okay, favorite one. This might be recency bias, but I've got to go the regional against LSU at home. It's an easy answer, yep. But it's just so good. But let's talk about formative moment. I would say, was it 97 where we went to the Liberty Bowl against Pitt?
That was a good one, yes. That was 97.
Very formative moment for me.
You know, we've had two players off that team we've interviewed on this show before, and both of them talked pretty extensively about that 97 Liberty Bowl. Yeah. That was a big deal to those guys.
We crushed Pitt that night.
It was fun.
Yes, it was.
Is that the game of the drop kick, Lane?
No, that was 2003 Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't
that's
drop right. kick him. He just kicked him, but it was funny.
Oh, that Dustin Allman. I remember that. Against Utah. I remember that.
It wasn't a drop kick, but it was a kick.
He kneed him right in the ribs.
It was fantastic. I liked it.
All right, man. Next question is, what makes you an everyday Eagle? Why Southern Miss?
Why Southern Miss? Why am I an everyday Eagle? That could be a deep question. Let's talk about, well, I was raised a Southern Miss fan. I've been going to games since I could walk. My parents have had the same season tickets at M.M. Roberts since 1983. I believe I could get to those seats with my eyes closed. I've got autographs from guys like DeQuincy Scott, Harold Shaw, and so on and so forth. That list goes on and on. But more so than that, not just going to games, but it's also a mentality of life, you know? It's a chip on your shoulder, do it yourself, work hard type mentality. Where I grew up, it was all State and Ole Miss. And so you're a little different if you're a Southern Miss fan. And I kind of reveled in that Southern Miss being different. And I think that just kind of plays into who you are as a person now.
You know, we've had several people talk about that, like how you kind of feel like the blue collar feel of Southern Miss kind of. It speaks to people. Absolutely. Like our fan base, we kind of feed off of that, so that's good. And then we like just give you a chance to tell us about yourself, what you do, you know, tell us about your family, all that good stuff. So give us a rundown of yourself.
All right, well, 34 years old, I'm married. We're coming up on our 10th year of marriage. I've got two kids, 5 and 2, two girls. I've been in Hattiesburg for about 4 years now. I'm a dentist here in town. Other than that, I like to go fishing when I can. I like to build stuff in my shop when I can. You know, just regular blue-collar type stuff.
There you go.
Lane, do you have like a new rule where you only hang out with dentists now?
That's right. That's right. Last week I had a husband of a dentist on the show. I think you know them, the Dunns.
Yeah.
They live over there by each other. Yeah. Tell us about where's your dentist office located at, man, for people who might want their teeth cleaned by a fellow Eagle.
Yeah. Well, I'm at Hub City Dental. It was formerly owned by a guy named Jerry Gilder, who'd been in town for about 43 years. We are on 28th Avenue, south of Lincoln Road. If you know where Southern Eye Center is, we're right across the street.
Very cool.
Any of y'all are taking new patients?
Oh, yeah, always.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Chuck, did we have mailbag questions this week?
We did have some mailbag. Pate, did we have mailbag?
We certainly did. We've actually got a few questions in this week.
Hot damn! Yeah.
So
I like it.
All right. So we got a couple of questions in from Mr. Chris Hill, who has written into the show before, and his first question that he wrote in was, how much NIL money are we going to need to pull together to keep Dalton McIntyre to the end of the season? Y'all think we should take his phone away or something?
Chuck, I'm dying to hear your thoughts here, Chuck. Take it away.
Yes, put him on a no contact list, especially yes. those LSU, Florida Gators, oh. SEC teams. You know, no, I don't think I don't know Dalton at all. But I do think unless we just don't make a deep run, then maybe he'll think about jumping ship. But I don't see him jumping ship. That's just my opinion. I don't see him going anywhere.
You want to talk about a blue-collar kid. He was a walk-on at Meridian.
Right.
And worked his way up to where he is now. Not only is that the case, but the kid's having family issues. Like, he just seems like a good dude. A guy you want to pull for. Mm-hmm. And I really hope he stays because, like we were talking about, that's just like the Southern Miss way, the Southern Miss mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was the story about his grandpa, Chuck? You knew it well. What was the...
No, the night he hit his first D1 home run, his granddad passed away that morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's hard, man. That's tough.
Isn't his mom going through chemo right now?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's a tough kid, man. He is. We need to get some phone records and shut him down from everybody. Right, right. I agree with you, Chris. And everybody, hey, this feels like the perfect time to throw a plug out there again. Peter Bain would be proud of me right here to join. You knew it was coming, Chuck, when we had this question. To join the To The Top Collective, people. That's our biggest NIL thing. That is the best way for an everyday Eagle, for a normal person who doesn't, like, own a business trying to hire these guys. That's the best way for us everyday fans to help fight this NIL battles. It's a real thing. So, you know, I know he was being funny with the question, but this is a real thing that we're about to have to start fighting and preparing for. And that's the best way to do it. And so join that To The Top Collective, guys. I think it's $17 a month is the cheapest option. Right, Chuck?
I think something like that. But real quick, I'm glad you brought that up because on April 17th, for our Gulf Coast listeners or even our Hattiesburg listeners, they want to make the drive down. April 17th, 5 to 7, there's going to be a USM baseball benefit at the Lady May, put on by Tyler Kahn and his parents. Do you remember Tyler Kahn, Lane?
I do.
Yeah. Special guests include Coach Oz, Coach Creel, Coach Perry, Brian Dozier, and Peter Bain will be there. So it'll be To The Top Collective benefit again, April 17th, 5 to 7. Free tickets are free. Just show up, donate some money, eat some good food, celebrate some Southern Miss. There'll be door prizes and giveaways. So go check it out. I'm thinking about riding down.
Absolutely. We need to, seriously, guys, it's here. The NIL's here and it's not going anywhere. We got to start fighting this battle. All right, good question, Chris.
Yeah, that is an awesome question. Anyone else want to contribute to that? Or I think we all can agree that he's absolutely amazing.
He's special. He's going to get phone calls, but hopefully we can.
Who does he remind you of a little bit, Lane?
Oh, boy. Reed Trimble to me.
See, I was thinking a little bit of a Bo Davis without the home runs.
Yeah.
Just that speed and that.
I was saying he's a better batting average, not as powerful Reed Trimble, just the way he plays and stuff. And his body type looks like what Reed was.
So I said this to, let's see, my dad was at a game with me last weekend. And I said, had you told me at the beginning of the season that you were going to like Dalton McIntyre more than you ever liked Matt Edsall, I'd have called you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no knocking Matt Edsall, right?
No knocking. Right. That is not a knock on Matt Edsall.
Right.
That is a significant praise to Dalton McIntyre.
Right, absolutely. But somebody said in our chat the other day, what if I were to say Dalton McIntyre's who I prayed Matthew Edsall would have been? And as good as Matt Edsall was, Dalton McIntyre's better. Like as far as hitting. You know, I don't know if he's got the power, but...
Mm.
I think that'll come.
Edsall didn't have much pop. What did he hit? Didn't. Three homers?
Three or four,
Three or four? McIntyre's got one. I mean,
I think really? Give him a year with the trainers, and he might put on some muscle.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of which, we talked about Dalton McIntyre. So it's funny to me. Chris Hill sent this question in, right? So Chris came on our show and did the baseball preview show with us, and we gave a bunch of predictions about who would play what position and breakout players. Not a single one of us said Dalton McIntyre's name the whole show. You realize that?
Yep.
I don't even call that surprising.
Like, we didn't even – we were trying to figure out who's going to play outfield, how we're going to get all these big bats in the lineup. We never once said, by the way, there's one that's going to bat 390-something at the top of the lineup, Dalton McIntyre. We just didn't know. I don't know how we didn't think of it. He batted over 400 in JUCO.
What's he at, 420 now?
I was listening to John earlier on the radio, and I think, yeah, he's over 400, I believe.
He's batting 422 right now. I guess this is the best time we can go ahead and say this now. People, in our Holy Cow segment earlier today, we made a rule. You can't pick Dalton McIntyre because that's cheating. Dalton McIntyre's batting four. This was the Slade Wilkes rule from last year. Dalton McIntyre is batting 422 on the season right now. 422. And he's 10 for 12 on stolen base attempts. That's a leadoff hitter if I've ever heard of one.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
So I heard you just say he could put on 15 pounds, and you never know. Do you want him to? Part of what makes him so special is his speed.
Speed.
He
I
probably
don't.
Loses yeah. that if he puts on weight.
Mm. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
You is right.
All right. So
all right, what's our next question, Lane? Pate.
I find that very insulting. So Chris also wrote in and asked, I heard your guest for tonight is Patrick. I'd like to know if any of you guys have ever left a USM game early and missed a big moment. We
lost him.
We lost.
we got the laid freeze. This freeze is brought to you by antifreeze. Don't get caught in the cold. We got to find somebody to start sponsoring Lane's freezes.
I'm telling you, we'll make millions.
Right?
All right, folks. Sorry about the technical difficulty. Lane has frozen yet again, but we're back. So, Lane, I don't know if you caught the second question, but I'm going to ask it again.
Go ahead and ask it again for us.
I sure will. Chris Hill wrote in, and he asked, I heard that your guest is Patrick for tonight. I'd like to know if any of you guys have ever left a USM game early and missed a big moment.
That sounds like a story, Patrick.
That's quite the dig, isn't it? So,
yes.
I will answer that by saying, hey, Chris, it was good to see you Friday night in Mobile. Oh, wait, you weren't there. I was.
Got him.
Shots fired.
Yeah. So my wife and I dropped the kids off at about 4 o'clock with my in-laws and ran down to Mobile Friday night for the game. Well, I still have to be a dad the next day. So when it's 9:30 at night, start getting a little antsy for a 2-hour ride home, knowing I'm going to be dragging the next day. So I looked at Holly, I looked at my wife in about the bottom of the 8th inning and said, if we score in the 9th, I'll stay. If we don't score in the 9th, I'm leaving. And of course, we scored in the top of the 9th. So you stick around. Well, they score in the bottom of the 9th. And I tell her again, I said, if we don't score in the top of the 10th, I'm out of here. So we don't score in the top of the 10th. And here's my reason. I would rather stay for, or I would rather experience a win in the car than experience heartbreak in their stadium.
I mean.
That sounds like a bumper sticker.
Yeah. It's reasonable.
And it was very late.
I don't leave live events early, usually.
I just, huh? Just
I will say this. I have turned off games before and missed big moments.
He went and mowed the yard.
Yeah, that's oddly specific because that did happen. That story's been told a few times on here, but just come back against Kentucky. I went and mowed my yard the second half, and my wife came and got me, and she said, "Hey, you know we're winning." I was like, "No, we're not." And she's like, "Yeah, we are." And I went inside and saw we had come all the way back. I didn't see the entire comeback.
That hurts me for you.
So many people have said it was like their favorite memory, and I was like, I watched just go down a lot early and then came back like an hour later and saw us winning.
Like a 35-point comeback?
Yeah. In fairness, I thought the game was over in the yard. The grass ain't going to cut itself. So, you know.
But, yeah, all that to say, good to see you down there, Chris. Glad you made the trip.
Well,
got him.
He didn't make the trip.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I can't, to my knowledge, I can't think of any games myself. Usually I've only left, and it's just either because it's just that ugly, like we're down by several runs, but I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
Me neither.
Nope.
We're not fair weather fans.
No.
Lame.
Mm. Mm. Of course.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a third mailbag question from Mr. Dylan Boyd, who has written in.
Dr. Dylan Boyd.
Dylan asks, who do you think will step up in for Mr. McCarty English in the mid relief? What was once a strength in pitching depth, do you see it as a weakness now?
It's a really good question, huh? So I think it's fair to say when you lost McCarty English, which how long is he out, guys? I haven't seen the official diagnosis. He's done
for the season.
So I didn't know if they had actually ruled him out yet or not. I knew he was hurt. I didn't know what the official diagnosis was. So do we know what
elbows.
The official...
Elbow surgery, something with his elbow.
Is it Tommy John? Like, was it UCL or no?
I think it was, I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to lie.
I don't know either.
Okay. Well, I hate to lose him because when you talk McCarty English, you're talking one, a ridiculously talented kid, young kid.
Yes.
I think he'll be a staple of our. Honestly, I think he'll be a starting pitcher next year. Dylan and I, we were talking about this earlier today. He goes to church with me, and he was asking me this and said, answer this on your podcast tonight. But he kind of agreed with me that we could see McCarty English. We could have seen him being a big rotation piece next year. Not out of the pen, but as a starter.
The way things are going, we might have seen it this year if it had stayed healthy.
Yeah. When you talk about McCarty English, you're talking about a guy with a 4.91 ERA. That's not that good, but I think he's gotten a hit around it. I think he had one bad game, and it killed his ERA.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a guy who pitched in 18 innings and had 18 strikeouts. So a strikeout per inning. And opponents batted .225 against him. He's had his ups and downs, but in his up times, he was really, really up. Like, looked really, really good. He's a tough kid, too. He's the one who got hit that game, huh? With that line drive and came back.
He had a really good outing against Mississippi State.
Yeah, he did. So, I don't know. Chuck, you want to take it first? Who do you think? Who do you see stepping up?
Who do I see stepping up, or who do I pray steps up? Because... You know, you've got some juniors in the bullpen that haven't really – I don't know if they've had the shots. I don't know if they've got the talent. I don't know. But Ben Raleigh Flowers, you've got Drunken Miller, Armistead Jr. I mean, these guys have to come out and do some damage because our bullpen – I'm not going to say it's a weakness. I'm going to say it's unreliable and young right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got seven guys out of the bullpen with less than 10 innings pitched. So, some of those guys you mentioned are in that seven.
It sounds like midweek games are going to be tough from now on, because Cole Boswell is clearly going to slot in where English McCarty, or whatever his name, he's got two first names.
McCarty English.
McCarty English.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Boswell is clearly going to slot in to that spot.
That was the way they used him this past weekend.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our midweek starter. So now midweeks are just going to get that much more difficult.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that for sure. You know, Cole Boswell is one. I'll tell you, I think Chandler Best becomes a really, really – he's had a few good outings here lately. I think he's a guy that becomes kind of a go-to guy we can lean on a little bit. Maybe take some of the pressure off of that. You know, he's coming back off elbow injury himself. But Chandler Best is one that I'm going to say steps up. And then, you know, you mentioned that earlier, Chuck. You mentioned several guys who hadn't hardly pitched any. You know, Ben Riley Flowers hadn't hardly pitched any. Drake Meeks, he hadn't pitched hardly any. Jake Cook, J.W. Armistead, Drew Druckenmiller, Landon Payne, Peyton Lacy. Those guys have all pitched under 10 innings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if one of those guys is the answer to it, but I could see at least one of them's innings count starting to go up here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Druckenmiller, to me, is a guy that he has – I think he could end up being a pretty good pitcher for us. He hadn't had a good outing yet, though. He got hit around a little bit. He gave up 7 runs in 4.2 innings so far. All those guys, they've given up some runs early on, but I can see Druckenmiller doing it. J.W. Armistead, obviously, could see him doing it. Jake Cook, any of those guys could step up. I think if Drew – or not Drew, I said Drew Boyd like the old pitcher, huh?
If, Dr. Drew Boyd.
Yeah. If Dylan's question is aiming at who is going to be that go-to guy in the bullpen that we lean on a lot, I think Chandler Best is one that we're going to lean on more and more as the season keeps going.
Can we just talk about how spoiled rotten we are with pitching staff?
We are super spoiled. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're used to a guy like Tanner Hall stepping up middle of the season.
Yeah.
We're used to a guy like Justin Storm stepping up in the middle of the season.
Oh,
we're spoiled rotten, guys.
We are. I was thinking earlier about this podcast tonight, about what all we were going to talk about, and I was thinking how – I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm a little concerned that we're not sweeping people right now. It's bothering me.
It's a problem.
I'm concerned about it, not necessarily because of a regional, but because of – well, yeah, because of a regional, but also because of the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of bothers me. I like the feeling of we can go in and sweep these people. And now, you know,
winning that third and fourth game becomes very difficult.
Yeah, right. And I'm not saying sound the alarm. I'm not saying the sky's falling. I think we have a really talented team that's putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to thinking about it, was like, how petty do I sound that I'm bothered we're winning series against good teams, but we're not sweeping them?
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
Like, we've been super spoiled.
Right.
You know?
And correct me if I'm wrong, the last couple of years, like mid-season, like we were going on like long winning streaks as well, like 15 games plus, you know, pretty much at this time of the season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you're right.
Yeah. It.
You mean what Louisiana Lafayette's doing right now? What are
basically,
they at? 12 or 13?
Yeah.
15.
15. Oh, good.
15 straight games.
Good Lord.
We need Gary Lynch back.
How sweet is it going to be if we take that series from them and Lafayette? When we do, how sweet is that going to be? It's going to be the best feeling.
That would taste
on
so
their
good.
Home turf.
It would be fantastic.
Just go rub the Danny Lynch statue that's on their on their campus.
Oh, yeah. Daddy Lynch. Good question there, Dylan. Good talking points,
Dale.
I think, for sure.
Absolutely. That was a great question. And if anyone else would like to submit a question for us to answer on the show, you can reach out to us on our Facebook page at Everyday Eagles Podcast. You can also find us on the Twitter /X at Everyday_Eagles, or you can send us an email at everydayeaglespodcast@gmail.com. We'll be more than happy to answer your questions here on the show.
This is going to sound sloppy here. I'm going to go back on one thing. Drew Druckenmiller does have JUCO experience. I was going to say it, but for some reason I balked and I wasn't sure if I had false info. He played at Jones College. I think a guy like that with that kind of experience could do it. So he's the guy I'm going to say steps up and eats up more innings, and Best is the one that has the most effective innings. So
there you go.
All right. Well, are we ready to move on into the next stuff?
Moving.
The Holy Cow segment.
Holy cow!
Chuck, what Golden Eagles made you say holy cow last week?
Well, I'm going to have to give it to Billy the Kid, Billy Oldham. He come out after a, 11-inning game Saturday, Friday, and we needed a good start from him. Through 6.1 innings, only gave up 3 hits, 1 earned run with 5 Ks. But I think he threw like 100-and-something pitches, right, Lane?
Yeah, he threw 107 pitches.
Yeah, I think Billy Oldham is definitely – I think we talked about it before the show that he has been the most reliable pitcher that we've had.
Yeah, he's been really, really good, man. He's been what we expected him to be, honestly. Goes back to being spoiled, right, Patrick?
Absolutely.
So, all right, Patrick, what Golden Eagle athlete made you say holy cow last week?
So, again, I was there on Friday night. Thanks, Chris Hill. But after Nico Mazza had kind of a rough start and got knocked out in, the third inning, I believe it was?
Yeah.
I knew we needed someone to come out and chew up some innings. And so I'm going to go with Cross Sibley because he did just that. He went 5 innings pitched, only gave up 2 hits. And unfortunately, one of those was a 2-run bomb. But other than that one bad pitch, the kid was solid for 5 solid innings. Threw 64 pitches. And honestly, they didn't rule it an error. But that should have been a 1-run bomb, not a 2-run bomb, because I would consider the play that happened before that an error.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. Cross is another one. We need to – I could see him getting leaned on a little bit more too here. And that leaves me, guys, my holy cow player. I'm going to jump over to the softball side of things, okay? My holy cow player is Jana Lee. I feel like I've said her name multiple times on this show before, Chuck. Have I not?
That's what happens when that's the only softball player you know.
No, when she's fantastic. Jana Lee, I'm going to run through some
stats. All right, hold on. Look at me, Lane. Look at me. Look away from the computer. Name one other softball. Okay, name one. Hannah Borden.
Kayla Fox. Natalie Taylor. Maria,
you're looking
Smith
at the roster. I see it in your eyes.
Jana Lee, guys. Here's some stats for Jana Lee right here. Impressive weekend. I'm going to start with the weekend, then go to the midweek, and you'll see why in a minute. So on the weekend, guys, on Saturday, Jana Lee went 3-for-5, 1 run scored, 3 RBIs. On Sunday, she hit a home run. Okay? Now, let's backtrack here to the midweek game. So that's a pretty good weekend hitting. Let's go to the midweek game against Nichols State. Jana Lee hits a double. Okay, that's good. But she also pitches. And Jana's a two-way player. She also pitches that game, and she goes 3 innings pitched, 1 hit, 2 Ks, and gets charged with a win. Gets the win credited to her. So that's an impressive week of softball, people. You get a win on the mound. You throw 3 innings of 1 hit ball, don't give up any runs, hit a dinger, hit a double, get some RBIs. It's a good weekend. That's a good week for Jana Lee right there. I'm going to go with Miss Lee as my holy cow player of the week. Really, guys, she's been good all season. She's batting .357 on the year right now, 3 home runs. Good player. She's a tough player, guys. So she has 11 doubles on the year, 21 RBIs. She's a good player. So I'm going to go with her.
Miss Do Everything. That is impressive.
Yeah, she does a little bit of all of it. So, All right. Are we ready to dive into the can't wait segment?
Can't wait.
Chuck, what can you not wait for this week?
Well, I'm ready for the Lady Eagles to come on home for, I think, if I'm not mistaken, probably their last. No, they may have one more after this homestand of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for the Lady Eagles to be back in the burg. They haven't had a lot of home games this season.
I got you. Patrick, what can you not wait for this week?
I can't wait for Ooh La La to choke and us to start our win streak and to ride into first place.
That's going to be a good one. I can't wait for it. Somebody offered for me to ride with them to the games to go with them that weekend. That I'm seriously considering it.
You should.
So that would be good. Plus, like, guys, they're acting like they're never going to lose again. So that would be a lot of fun.
It's Ooh La La. Yeah. They will choke.
It would be great to beat them. So that's a good one. And then that brings us to me then. And my can't wait, guys, I can't wait to see how our guys respond in our game Tuesday night versus Southeastern Louisiana after losing to them this past week 7-6. It was a tough game, man. We threw kind of Johnny Holstaff at them. When you look at our stat lines here, Cole Boswell started the game. We already talked about how he's going to be – we don't know if he's going to stay in that role or not. But, guys, Landon Payne, Ben Riley Flowers, J.W. Armistead, Chase Adams, J.B. Middleton, Colby Allen, all those guys threw that night. That's a lot of guys getting innings pitched. And I'll be honest with y'all, a pretty good bit of them gave up runs. Uh-huh. I'm interested to see how our pitching staff responds to the midweek game this week, more so than our hitters. I just want to see who's going to step up. Again, it goes back to the question Dylan posted to us. I want to see who out of our bullpen is going to step up. I figure we'll steal Johnny Holstaff and everybody get an inning or two and then get out. But I want to see if we can get a little fire under us, man. Southeastern's a good baseball school, but you don't want to lose to them, you know. So I want to see if our guys can bounce back on Tuesday night. So I can't wait to see that. So does that bring us to the rundown, boys? There we go. I was waiting on it. Chuck, did you just give a Roadrunner impression?
I did. I was like, I don't know what's happening. You'll submit the silence.
I love it. Beep, beep. All right. Chuck, go ahead and give us a rundown on baseball first.
Baseball. Did we have baseball this weekend?
We did, Chuck. We did. Tell us about it.
Your Southern Miss Golden Eagle baseball team is 20-12 on the year with an 8-4 conference record. I was going to say Conference USA. Oh, don't want to go back to that.
No, easy.
Easy, CBS.
You don't have to cuss on the show, Chuck.
I know. I apologize. We took 2 out of 3 from South Al Friday, a 6-5 win in 11 innings. Saturday, a 5-1 win. And then, of course, we all know the 8-6 loss today. We are tied for second place right behind Louisiana Lafayette. So we still have to play them. We got Georgia State this weekend, who's in sixth place. Tuesday night we play, like we said earlier, Selah at 6 p.m. at the Pete. But we've got 6 games. If we can sweep Georgia State, then you're going to go play who's after Georgia? ULM comes to the Pete. If we could sweep them, then we'll be in Louisiana. If we could sweep them, that'd be sweet.
That would be a streak, son.
That would be a huge streak.
You're describing a streak, which is what that's accustomed to. We're spoiled, right?
That's
Patrick?
What I can't wait for.
Can't wait for a streak.
Can't wait to go into Ooh La La on a nice win streak here. That's what Patrick can't wait for. All right, guys, I'm going to give you the individual guys. I'm going to run through this quick. Quit laughing, Chuck. I'm going to run through this quick here. Dalton McIntyre. I mean, we've already talked about him. He was fantastic. He had a good week, guys. He had a double against Southeastern. Had a stolen base against South Alabama on Friday and Saturday. Oh, and Sunday. He had a stolen base every game this weekend. So Dalton McIntyre, guys, not to mention multiple hit games every weekend, every game. The dude's hitting .422. I think we've said about all we can about Dalton McIntyre. Fantastic player. Some other guys to highlight here. Slade Wilkes had a good week at the plate here. He had a home run against Southeastern. Double against South Owl on Friday. Home run Saturday against South Owl. And on and that double against South Owl on Friday brought in, he was actually one that hit in the game-winning run. So Slade had a good weekend. Billy Butler also hit a home run against Southeastern. So, yeah, those guys have all had – Billy Butler, guys, he's batting over .300 for us right now. So he's another one that's been good. We mentioned Chandler Best earlier. We talked about him maybe taking on some more innings pitch against South Owl on Saturday. He went 2.2 innings pitch and didn't give up a hit. Had three Ks. That's good. Talk about Cole Boswell Sunday. He threw two scoreless innings and kind of in that role that McCarty English has been in. So those were kind of our highlights of our guys from this past week. Now looking at Georgia State, they got three players really that scare me at the plate a little bit. Will Mize is the first one. I think he's their best player. Okay, I'm gonna call it like it is. He's their best player. He's number 14. He's hitting .316 on the year. Eight home runs. He's their home run leader with eight. And he's 3-for-4 stolen bases wise. The next one is Michael McGinnis, number 24. He's batting .311 on the year. Four home runs, but he's 13-for-15 on the base pass, stealing bases. So when he's on base, be looking for the steal. It's probably coming. He steals a lot, and he's good at it. So, and then the next one's Matt Ruiz, number 21. He's batting .271, but the number that stood out to me was he has 11 doubles on the year. So he has a lot of doubles, not a ton of home runs, but those extra base hits add up. And then on the mound, their best pitcher, in my opinion, is Brady Jones, number 99. He's only pitched 23.1 innings pitched, but he has a 1.54 ERA. And aside from him, guys, the ERAs don't really scare you much off their pitching staff. This is a week that our offense really needs to step up. And then, like I said, we got a lot of questions we got to get answered in the bullpen specifically. And so this will be a good week to see all that versus Georgia State. And as we mentioned, Southeastern in the midweek. So anything you want to add to that, Patrick?
Yeah, actually, you were talking about stolen bases for their players at Georgia State. Let's talk about our catcher situation for a second. It looks like Tucker Stockman really solidified his spot. Didn't he start all three games this weekend?
That's something to look up, and I just closed that tab.
Now, I know Odom came in at one point.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Stockman started all three games. So it sounds like we have settled in on a catcher.
And that's big.
Yeah, you know, we kind of struggled throwing guys out there for a while. So hopefully we're getting that corrected.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's see. Tucker Stockman. Might take me a second to pull this up here. I believe he did start in all three. Let me double check this. Let's see. We want to make sure we get it right here. All right, so Tucker Stockman last weekend definitely started all three games. So, yes, he did. He started all three games this weekend. Yeah, it might have solidified that. It's been kind of him and Lawson Odom all year. So, maybe Tucker's taking over that role there. Lawson, again, a supremely talented kid, but he's just a freshman, you know. So, yeah. Good deal. Chuck, you ready to run into softball?
Let's do it.
So the Lady Eagles return home this weekend. They are 17-20 overall with a 5-7 conference U.S. See, I did it again. Why do I keep doing that?
Quit cussing,
Doug. Dagnabbit.
Goodness gracious. I got choked. That was the problem. Friday, they got the loss 6-0. Saturday, they come back and won 11-9. And Sunday, they lost 16-3. That was against Coastal Carolina. And they are currently in ninth place in the conference.
Yeah, not a good week for our pitching staff in softball. Our pitchers got hit around a little bit. I pretty much told you the highlight of the pitching staff with my Holy Cow player. I think she might be the only pitcher last week who actually threw several innings who did not give up a run. So Coastal's offense exploded this weekend against us, and just not a good week to be a pitcher. Looking at our key players from this past week against Nichols in the midweek, Maddie Weeks hit a double. And then Saturday against Coastal, she also hit another double. So Maddie Weeks hit two doubles this past week. Already mentioned what all Jana Lee did. Again, she homered. She doubled against Nichols and then, you know, had a bunch of RBIs. She had a big week. So another one, Rihanna Valdivia. I think I said her name right, pronounced it right. I gave my best effort here. She had a big day Saturday at the plate. She went 3-for-5 with one run and two RBIs. Felt like that was noteworthy there. So those are your key performances last week. Now, looking into this week against Georgia State, you got to look out for the Chloes. They got two Chloes, Chuck, and they're both good. Number 9, Chloe Nadler, is probably their best player. In my opinion, she is at the plate at least. She's batting 341 on the season with 5 home runs, and she is 11-for-11 on stolen bases. I think that's 100%, Chuck. Am I right?
It's 99.9%.
Never 100, huh?
Never.
And then lastly, you've got the other Chloe, number 1, Chloe Middlebrooks. She's batting 303 on the year. 3 home runs. She's 13-for-14 stolen bases. So they got the two Chloes here. They swipe bags. And then another one I noticed, she doesn't start every game, but Mackenzie Walker, number 31, she's batting 333 on the year. She is 10-for-12 on stolen bases. So they got three girls there who can swipe a lot of bags. So big week for our catchers to be ready for that. Pitching-wise, their best pitcher is number 32, Sydney Bolware. She's got a 4.76 ERA, 91 Ks and 111 innings pitched. Pretty good player. It's a tough week. You know, it's a tough week. Georgia State likes to steal a lot of bases. Pitching-wise, though, guys, like Chuck, I don't see numbers that just pop off the page at me, but a lot of, like, 4s, 5s, and 6s ERAs. So, which I said the same thing about Coastal last week.
Yeah.
So, hopefully our girls have a good week this week. I think it's more on what we can do than our opponent at this point. So, anything to add there? All right. Well, that brings me to the other sports left over here. I want to talk about these some of these other sports, highlight some sports we might not always talk about here, a couple of them. Women's tennis versus Marshall. They took a loss this week, 0-4. Beach volleyball lost to Georgia State. Georgia State's number 15 in the country in beach volleyball. But we lost to them 0-5. Tough week there for some of these other sports here. Coming up this week, some events. Men's tennis, they played at Louisiana starting today. Or they had a match today. I don't have the results from that yet. We'll have to look into that for next week. Women's golf, they start a tournament tomorrow, which is Monday, because we're recording on Sunday night. They play Monday and Tuesday. So they're playing in a golf tournament at the Brickyard Golf Club. I'm trying to see where that's in Macon, Georgia. So they're playing there, women's golf does. So good luck to them. Good luck to the tennis team. Hopefully they won. And that is it for your other sports rundown, Chuck.
That was a good rundown, Lane.
Precise, to the point.
Well, do we have anything else to discuss tonight, ladies and gents?
I think that's about it.
Patrick, any last words of wisdom?
No, I just want to say thank you for letting me come on and have a good old time with you boys.
We appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you. Any friend of Lane's is questionable, but he's a friend of ours. Just kidding. Thank you, Patrick, for coming on. Thank you, Pate, for making us sound and look good. Thank you to our sponsor of this tonight's show, Antifreeze. we'll hopefully get all that situated. But until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Thank you for checking out the Everyday Eagles podcast, the podcast for Southern Miss fans by Southern Miss fans. Be sure to subscribe and follow our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And don't forget to leave us a rating and share this podcast with a fellow Golden Eagle. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Everyday Eagles Podcast and follow us on Twitter at @Everyday_Eagles. To learn more about the podcast or to inquire about being a guest on the show, visit our website at edepodcast.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We will catch you next time on the Everyday Eagles Podcast. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.